At gatherings, when asked, "What do you do?" teachers often respond, "I'm just a teacher." But teaching isn't just a job. It's a calling, shaping future generations and society. In our podcast, Not Just a Teacher, we have conversations with everyday educators who are making an impact one student at a time. Join us as we challenge the status quo and hear stories that recognise and celebrate the invaluable contributions of Christian educators from across Australia and the world.
Well, welcome to the next episode in our CSA podcast, Not Just a Teacher. I met our guest today, Ruth, in interesting circumstances. We met at a couple of weeks ago at a Quicklin Collaboration Day up in Rockhampton. And what I was really impressed about was that Ruth and her colleague, Elizabeth, who we are hoping to hear later on in the series, actually flew up and down to Rockhampton from Brisbane in the day. So I reckon she must have left at 3:30 in the morning and probably got back at about 9:00 at night. So I was really impressed that Ruth, you made the commitment to interact with others in that space and put in the effort to head up to Rocky for the day. So welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here. A little bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's all good. Just relax as we have a conversation. So tell me a little bit about yourself, where you serve, and a bit about your school.
I am currently at Parklands Christian College. I work with Elizabeth Streben, Wilman now, she's married last year, who you just mentioned, supporting our teachers and our students in the curriculum space for PE to year six. This is my sixth year in the role, but I've been associated with Parklands since its conception in 2001. I was the year one teacher there in 2009 before moving to Cairns with my new husband. And I came back and started doing relief teaching there when I started my family. And so I've seen the school through so many milestones. I've seen them through as a single stream school to a double stream school to our transition now to a third stream school. We've seen new principals, new head of primary, new buildings, a new curriculum. So it's been really exciting to travel the journey with Parklands for such a long time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hear a rumor that the founding principal was actually your father. So it was a bit
that
of a
rumor thing. Would be true. I'm careful who I say that to sometimes, Andrew.
Well, now it's out there. So because of the thousands of people listening to the podcast.
I do like him.
So tell me, what drew you into education? Obviously that you've got a family connection, but what actually drew you into being an educator?
Well, there's definitely a family connection, and I did giggle at this question because as a teenager in high school, when you start to think about what you will do after year 12, there was absolutely no way I was joining the teaching profession. I had made my mind up. There were too many of us, aunts, uncles, siblings, parents. We needed someone to forge a new career path, doing something else. And not knowing what to do, I made the move to London for a gap year at the end of year 12, and it saw me land a job as a year 4 classroom teacher's aide at an all-girls school. And, 3 weeks into the job, I knew that I would be returning home at the end of that year to study teaching. The calling was very, very strong, but I do have to say that my grandmother, my father's mother, she used to speak often about her father in England, and he used to say something to her that was really profound with me at the time. He used to say, "Annie, if a door of opportunity ever opens to you through no fault of your own, you should always walk through it." Mm. And I need to let you know that this job in London, it was certainly a door that opened to me of no fault of my own. I didn't even apply for the job. I made no effort to get this job. Through a series of events, it landed on my doorstep, and it was a door that I walked through, and it truly has been one of the best decisions of my life. It's a real fantastic God moment. Yeah.
It's incredible how God actually does open those doors. I've also had that philosophy that if a door opens, it's my responsibility to step through it and explore it. Mm-hmm. It may mean going back in reverse and going back out that door.
Yes.
But actually, yeah, stepping through it is something that we've always explored. And yeah, it's not always worked out sometimes either, but it's no. but in the end, God's always been in control. And
absolutely. And there's some things in that door that he wants you to learn, and then the doors, some doors close very quickly.
Tell me about it. Yep. This is not about me, so I won't tell you my stories, but yes, I've certainly got some stories to tell along those lines. So harking back to your school career, you sort of mentioned that a little bit when you finished school. Can you remember one of your teachers, and what do you remember about them? What was impactful with a teacher that you can remember?
I do. I always, whenever I think of my schooling, I actually think back to my year two teacher. Her name was Miss Gledhill. And when I was a year one teacher in 2000, and I was at Emmanuel College as a year one teacher, I'm not going to give a year, but it was about 9 years ago, I got word that she was passing away from cancer. And a colleague of mine at the time was in contact with her, was a very good family friend of the family. And she and I asked, I said, may I write a letter? Had never spoken to this teacher since year two. And, you know, and I was now an adult. And I wrote this letter, and I just needed Miss Gledhill, who was Mrs. Wright now, to know how much of an impact she had made on me. And it's a shame that we wait until those moments to say those words. But she was, when I reflect on her, Andrew, I can't tell you what her curriculum planning was like. I cannot even tell you what her lessons were like. I couldn't even tell you if she taught us the right things or the wrong things in terms of teaching and learning. But as a person, you could not fault her level of care. She just showed Jesus in everything. And as a year two student, what are we? We're 7 and 8 year olds. I remember her conversing with us all the time. She just wanted to talk with us all the time. You know, what conversations will you get out of a 7 and 8 year old? You know, my 7 and 8 year olds, I tend to run away from them, you know, because they don't, you know, be quiet. But she just always had time for us, just, and I felt safe, and I just loved everything about my year two year. You know, so she's certainly someone, just through who she was as a person, had a real big impact on who I wanted to be when I went, especially when I was studying teaching, when I would think about going out on pracs, I would think about Miss Gledhill, you know, come on, Ruth, you know, show care, make sure the students know that you care. What do I have to do so that they know that I care? If it means holding 20-minute conversations with eight-year-olds, then so be it.
But it's actually, that does lead into my next question, but I just want to preface it by saying that in the role that I've been in for the last 15 to 20 years, which is kind of like a consultancy type role, I've been in and out of schools. I've had the opportunity to talk to lots of students. And one of the consistent questions I've always asked them is, what does a good teacher look like? What tell me about a good teacher? And if I had to put it together, and this is a fairly common term, but if I had to put it together, the most common thing they've always said is they want to know how much you care before they care about how much you know. So that whole relational side just comes over again and again and again, that when we build relationships with our students, when we show them who we are as well as get to know who they are, we have a greater impact on them. So yeah, thank you for that. So that, as I said, that does lead into the next question that we ask is, what do you think a great teacher looks like? What are the things you look for in a teacher who is really having an impact?
Well, outside of the obvious, because I work in curriculum, so my job is to make sure that, you know, planning and content knowledge is there, efficiency and reliability, which are your, you know, your go-tos as a teacher. But beyond that, I do have a list of five things that for me personally, I look at, and I've tried to embody these in my practice. So therefore I do hold teachers to quite a high standard in these, in their practice. And compassion and empathy, genuinely caring for their students' well-being and seeking to understand their students, not I'm the adult and I will tell you. Humility, recognizing that they need to be open to learning from others, including their students. It's incredible how much we can learn from our little ones, especially when I speak from a primary school setting, when we just stop and listen. to the heart of children. Integrity is really big for me, that they live consistently, especially in a Christian school, that teachers are living within their Christian beliefs and their value systems, both inside and outside of the classroom. Servant leadership, prioritizing others where over their own personal gain and recognition. You know, we're here to lift up others. We're here to serve others. We are here to make other people be the best versions of themselves, over ourselves. You know, do everything in secret. Don't let the right hand see what the left hand is doing. But probably one of the biggest ones for me is grace and forgiveness. Modeling grace and forgiveness. I used to, as my behavior management strategy in the classroom, and we all have them. But if children fell short on a day, they knew, and we'd have this conversation, we'd talk about the heart of God and that God's mercies are new every morning. And so in my classroom, you fell short today. We all do. But tomorrow morning when you come to school, it's a brand new day. You get to start again. There is mercy, there is grace, there is forgiveness. You get the offer of a second chance. And about reconciliation, you know, as a Christian teacher and an educator, the heart of God was all about reconciling people back to him, back to the heart, you know. So I think we should be modeling that in our behaviors and our interactions with staff, with students, you know, reconciling them back. You've made a mistake, buddy, but let me bring you back into the fold. Let me help you make better choices. Let me understand what brought you to make that decision that you made, and let's be there to support them. So for some, they are big shoes to fill. I certainly, you know, I do work with colleagues that just embody these just so effortlessly. You know, they just Christ-likeness personified. It's all over them. It's in their way they interact, the way that they speak. And I think in today's world, Andrew, there is just such a need for teachers to look like this. Like, I really, truly do believe that.
Yeah, 100%. And my background isn't in Christian schooling. I did all my teaching and leadership in state systems. And just coming into the Christian schooling environment and being able to see, I mean, I grew up in a Christian home, I've been Christian my whole life, but being able to see that grace and forgiveness element be manifest in the, particularly in dealing with the children that it can be a bit challenging at times, rather than just jumping into that punitive model that we tend to see more of, has been really refreshing. I think it's also challenging, because we still have to have those boundaries. We still have to have those things that, you know, behavior is behavior and we need to deal with it well. But I think we have that opportunity as Christian educators and leaders to be able to demonstrate, as a good friend of mine says, Jesus with skin on. And
yes, that's great.
That grace and forgiveness element is really, can be challenging, but I think it is the basis of who we are. So thank you for that. So I'm just going to skip down because I do provide a bit of a list of types of questions we're going to ask. Just following on from that, because I think it does potentially link in a bit. What do you think the greatest challenge facing our education system, particularly Christian education today in Australia, is?
Outside of your, the most common ones, teacher shortages. Facing Australia would be a really big challenge. But I do have to, my husband works in the high school sector, and we often have conversations about this, you know, what did education look like and the challenges we faced when we started our careers versus now, and, you know, we are 16, 17 years into our career. So we have a long way to go. But the changes, big changes that we've seen, is around mental health and well-being.
Right.
It is huge. And so we often converse because, you know, in the high school with your teenagers, it's a really big issue, but it's actually coming down and impacting our little people. Even in the primary school setting, it's even families, that the parents that are there to care for these children, it's affecting them. There's a real attack on the families, I believe, Andrew. Social media use does not help. That's a really big use. So navigating children through that with a Christian worldview. My sister-in-law sent me this quote just a few weeks ago that said, if you're ready for your child's childhood to end, give them a mobile phone, you know. And so it just opens them up to this whole other world where they just have that they're open to people influencing them, and especially young people, Andrew, who they don't know who they are yet. They're still working that out. You know, who they are as a person, who they are in Christ, who God has called them to be, who God has created them to be, and where they fit in all of this. And then we have the world that comes in at such a young age now, telling them who they should be, what they should think like, what they should dress like. So I think there's a really big need. That's a real big need facing families. But I think especially in Christian education, we have a real responsibility to stand alongside families and support them in that space, because we spend most of the time, well, actually more time with their children than probably what parents do these days, you know. So they need to be hearing that from us as well. That we are here, that God has called you, you know, God has called you to have peace, you know, God has called you for joy, heaven's joy, the joy that you can only get from heaven. You know, God has called you for a purpose and a plan. God, you know, you are perfect and you are complete. You know, children need to hear that they lack nothing under Christ, the way they were created. They lack nothing. Yet the world tells them, if you don't have this, this, and this, you lack everything. And unless you have these things, you will not be complete. And that's not what, you know, the scriptures tell us. You know, they're already perfect.
100%.
Way.
So what does that look like at Parklands? What are some actual things that Parklands do, particularly maybe in your junior school, because that's your context, that support that?
We have a great well-being. I was actually going to speak to one of the strategies that we've brought in as under a teaching and learning model is the response to intervention model. But there's also a model that goes beyond that called an MTSS model, which is a multiple tiered systems of support. So it's not just a system of support that supports cognition and thinking and learning. It's a system of support that looks at the child holistically. And I really think this is something that Parklands does really well, Andrew, through our RTC process, our responsible thinking classrooms. We have some great social workers on site. And having been there for such a long time, like my year one class in 2009, they graduated 2 years ago. And I've kept in contact with so many of those students, and I walked them through high school and all that. And I found out things in their home life, Andrew, that were happening when they were in primary and I had no idea about. And it broke my heart. And I just wanted, you know, to walk with them and tell them, you know, this is not who God created you to be, you know, so much better. But they then spoke up, Andrew, and spoke about this support network through our social workers, through our head of learning support and other systems in place, where they're like, it's okay, Mrs. Conwell, I was fine. I was so supported in this way, in this way. This person would ring me, this person. And even today, we have students who have now graduated. They know, and they've actually verbally said it to me, I know that I can walk on site at any time, and I can walk into the office of one of these social workers, our RTC room or our head of learning supports room or a particular high school teacher's room who they formed a connection with, and I have help and support straight away.
That's awesome, isn't it?
And that really resonated with me, because sometimes as a primary school teacher, you don't tend to see those things. It's not until they grow up and then they're really hit with the challenges of life, and then you start to see how the school holistically, we are all here to get them through that 13-year journey. You know, we all have a part to play, but I really think Parklands, hearing that on the other side of students past who were my little year oneies, and now I've had to travel that journey and work out who they are in the world and the role that they play, what the school has done for them over that journey. I think it's incredible, you know. That's so awesome. I feel blessed to be a part of that school environment.
Yeah, such a testament. And, you know, I have the privilege, because Parklands is based in Queensland and I'm look after Queensland for CSA, I have get the privilege of spending time at the school, and certainly I can attest to what I see is it, very much about that. And that's not just Parklands either. It's all our schools, really. It's one of the hallmarks of Christian schooling. So I just want to finish with this because we are starting to run out of time. So I just want to finish with this one because I think it's an important one to so that we start have a future orientation is what's your hope for Christian schooling in Australia?
I do follow Mark Spencer's work down in Canberra, and probably that comes from my father, and he and I have had many conversations with this over the years as Mark has been down there, 10, 15 years now, fighting on behalf of Christian schooling. And my hope is that we, and my prayer is that we don't lose our religious freedom. What I've seen just in my short career time is so significant. And if this is the way we go, we're in trouble. So, you know, the freedom to employ the staff that we need to, who live our faith, the freedom to teach what we believe, you know, the curriculum embedded with Christ values, you know, especially over subjects like science and health, and the freedom for our families, for our parents, Andrew, to, I want this for my child, and so I have the freedom to choose a school that embodies Christ-like behaviors. And I know that when I send my child there, they are safe, they are protected, they have, you know, Christ is at the center of everything they do, my interactions, you know, my children's interactions with staff and other students. And we don't always get it right in Christian schooling. You know, we try to reach the community. But I do think that is my prayer that I think there's a bill actually going through today. We received an email this morning, and so it will be a lot of prayer in the next 24 hours that the hearts and minds of politicians will just open up.
We're certainly in a unique time, both at in the Australian context at this state level, but also nationally, where there is some agendas there that to affect who we can employ and what we can teach. And that certainly is something that we need everyone to be praying over regularly. You know, there is an immediacy now, but I think we're talking into the future as well. So
Absolutely. Anyway,
thank you, Ruth, for your time today. I really do appreciate it. You are the first teacher. You're the second podcast, but you're the first teacher. We had a launch from my friend in the United States, John Eckert launched the podcast. You're a first teacher to be part of it. So you've got a unique part in our history now.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to be part of it. And I certainly pray that you continue to have the positive effect that you have on your students there in Parklands and wider as you connect with other Christian teachers across Queensland and the country.
Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Join us next time where we'll gain valuable insights from another educator as they share their unique approach to navigating the challenges and triumphs of our profession.